morning, sir. Can I help you?
Yes. It's about my electricity bill. Mm-hmm. Look, £16.10. It's absolutely scandalous.
Oh, allow me. I'll just check it for you, sir. Oh, I see it's for the, if you'll pardon my whimsy, the current quarter. Now then, 7,000 new, isn't it? That's £14.10 plus £2.10 meter. Yes, sir, it's perfectly correct, £16.10.
But it's monstrous.
I'm very sorry, sir, but that's the price of electricity.
There was an excerpt from the Charge of the Light Brigade. Another in our series, A Film Worth Remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Laxley Pontefroode and Chagrin Werewillow, Lantern Slides with a Difference, Gypsy Rose Lewisham, the Bury St. Edmunds Javanese Dancers, Jack Pott, Miss Tallulah Tooth.
She got a nerve.
To continue, Charlbert Fizz, Sweeney Raymond, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Hall, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hall.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. And for listeners in France, hello, bonsoir, et soyez le bienvenu à outre notre Ken. Said sexily, of course. And to our many Eskimo listeners, hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken on Ice. And finally, to listeners in jungles everywhere, we say... Well, just a minute, Aaron, that's not quite right. That's better. He forgot to dot the I. Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I was in our local furniture shop. I pop in there now and again for an occasional table. And I spotted a lovely new mattress. It was rather expensive, and I spent quite a time wondering whether to buy it or not. Well, the assistant was very patient, and I said, look, I just can't make up my mind about this mattress. And he said,
well, sir, why not sleep on it?
Which I did. And at the same time, a couple of new pillows, which were very badly made, because on Tuesday morning, I woke up feeling down in the mouth. Still, on Wednesday, I had to go to West Hartlepool, so I packed just one bag with a few electric bulbs. I was traveling light. And I caught the best train of the day, which arrived dead on 7 o'clock. Unfortunately, it should have arrived dead on 4 o'clock. However, everything went quite well, and I was back in town by Thursday evening. Oh, I haven't told you what I went to West Hartlepool for, have I? Well, on Friday... Ah, yes, Friday. That was the day I had to go into town. I drove off in my car, and as usual, switched the radio on.
Cadilly Circus this morning. A policeman's helmet was run over by a bicycle believed to have been ridden by a BBC announcer. Will anyone witnessing the accident please keep their traps shut? In a few moments, you can hear the next program, which is the one that followed the last program. The BBC is so predictable. The program is, in fact, number one of a new series, Famous Biographies.
Oh, I couldn't bear to hear that again. It's bad enough my having to take part in it. I don't think I shall ever forget it.
This is the BBC calling the world. It isn't often that we are privileged to broadcast such an important biography. And that is why I have been asked to introduce this most famous life story.
The Kenneth Williams story.
In our opinion, what follows is unsuitable for children. It won't do the grown-ups much good either.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the facts have been changed to protect the innocent.
It's stark.
It's savage.
It's sordid.
It's soul-searing.
It's a lie.
night in a modest, well-kept little cottage behind St. Pancras Station. A baby was born.
A baby that one day was to become one of the brightest stars in show business.
His name was Kenneth Horne.
Yes, Kenneth Williams was born much later. To be exact, in 1926, and to save you working it out, it means that this year, Kenneth Williams' age is...
35 years.
As the parents gazed wondrously at their new offspring, there was a tender silence. And then his father, putting a comforting arm round his wife's shoulder, spoke.
Oh, really? Do we have to bring that up?
Yes, that's what he said.
However, they accepted the situation and lavished care and affection on the little Kenneth. The name Kenneth was chosen by his mother. They weren't able to use the name his father had suggested.
He was a sturdy child, although at times somewhat white-faced.
Oh, Charlie, look at him. You've gone and powdered the wrong end again.
Then came that thrilling moment for all parents when their child utters its very first words.
Oh,
oh, who's his daddy's little darling?
Isn't he a little lambkin? Speak to Mummy, darling.
Oh, stop making a vow.
When the time came for education, Kenneth was sent to the sort of school that was very difficult to get into.
It was very difficult to get out of as well.
It was at school that young Williams had his first stage experience, appearing in the end-of-term play.
It was A Midsummer Night's Dream, and even then he had a role in keeping with his position in class.
He was bottom. And of his performance as bottom, the school magazine said,
he was the end.
Nevertheless, his parents encouraged his love of the theater and often took him to productions he could learn something from.
Kenneth, sit still. There's a good boy.
I'll fade up. It's dead boring. Where's my catapult?
Kenneth, where did you get that elastic from?
Oh, never mind, Mum. Here, Dad, watch this. Watch this, Dad. You're liven things up a bit.
Ken, you shouldn't have done that, lad.
Why not?
Them girls ain't supposed to move.
The years rolled by and the plain, awkward boy grew up into a plain, awkward man.
Then came the war. And like so many others, Kenneth Williams did what he knew he had to do.
But they caught him. And it was the army who decided the immediate future of Williams K. A posting to the Far East, and before long, promotion to sergeant.
Yes, they soon had him taped. It was in the army that he first achieved prominence in broadcasting as an announcer on Radio Kuala Lumpur.
Good morning, this is Radio Kuala Lumpur,
Yes, thank you very much. After this, he was transferred to Combined Services Entertainment, which organized shows for the troops, sometimes perilously near the front line.
And now, lads, I'd like to sing for you one of the real old-time songs with Gladys Baxter at the piano. Thank you, Gladys.
Leaning on the gate beside the pond that lies beside the farmer stacks of new mown hay. It's just beside the ricks, beside the sticks where farmer sticks inside the chicks he only hatched today. Leaning, and champions on our way of this day. Beside the pile of stacks of new mown hay, what I've been leaning, as I've been leaning.
Achtung!
Here, I do the funny voice.
His future concerts were in prisoner of war camps. And his good work did not go unrecognized. A War Office spokesman said,
"A splendid job that Williams did. Our chaps had a real incentive to escape."
After the war, there was repertory theater, and an actress who worked with him had this to say.
Oh, yes, yes. I certainly remember Kenneth. He was in our company for some time, and I must say that working with him, I learned one very important thing.
What was that?
To lock my dressing room door, darling.
From repertory to his first West End play and Kenneth Williams' big chance to show audiences what he could really do. The play was The Threat.
We haven't much time, Helen. Mark will be here at any moment. Helen, I can't afford any scandal.
But Clive, £20,000 is a lot.
There's Mark now.
Perhaps he'll listen to reason.
All right, Helen, leave this to me. Come in. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening,
From the drama, he turned to something quite different. Review.
Good evening to you and you.
And so the rich pageant of his life comes up to date. Witty, sophisticated, charming, polished, brilliant, lovable.
Those are just some of the things that have never been said about Kenneth Williams. However, we of Beyond Our Ken have shared over 70 shows with him and feel that perhaps we know him best. It's only fitting, therefore, that his colleagues on this show should now pay their tribute. Thank you. And I personally would like to say this in all sincerity. Kenneth Williams is a great man. A great man.
Tell me, Mr. Horn, what makes you say that?
Well, I don't know really, but I think there's one reason that stands out above all.
What's that?
Well, for the life of me, I can't remember. Anyhow, what better way to end this veritable sago?
Just a minute, Ken. The word is saga. Sago's a sticky mess.
Oh. Well, as I was saying, what better way to end this veritable sago than to hear from the man himself, Kenneth Williams.
Thank you, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen,
Well, so much for the Kenneth Williams story.
I'm all right, really, just in case my fans are worried.
I shouldn't think he's worried. Anyway, here's something really worth listening to. The Hornets.
"'Twas on the Monday morning when I beheld my darling. She looked so neat and charming in every high degree. She looked so neat and nimble, oh, a washing of her linen, oh.
Dashing away with a smoothing iron.
Dashing away with a smoothing iron. She stole my heart away. 'Twas on the Wednesday morning when I beheld my darling. She looked so neat and charming in every high degree. She looked so neat and nimble, oh, hanging out her linen, oh.
Dashing away with a smoothing iron.
Dashing away with a smoothing iron. She stole my heart away.
On the Wednesday morning when I beheld my darling, she looked so neat and charming.
mine's on Thursday. What about Friday? Friday's my day. 'Twas on a Saturday morning when I beheld my darling. She looked so neat and charming in every high degree. She looked so neat and nimble, oh, airing off her linen, oh.
Dashing away with a smoothing iron.
Dashing away with a smoothing iron. She stole my heart away. Was on a Sunday morning when I beheld my darling. She looked so neat and charming in every high degree. She looked so neat and nimble, oh, wearing of her linen, oh. Dashing away with a smoothing iron, dashing away with a smoothing iron. She stole my heart away.
And she stole my heart away. And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. This week, we present a close-up on housing. What is today's most popular property? Is it the bungalow?
Could be.
Or is it the house?
Ah, well, that's another story. Anyway, first of all, let's talk to this gentleman. Now, you're concerned with property, I believe?
That is so, yes. I am an estate agent in one of the most sought-after residential suburbs.
And do you have much property for sale?
Oh, yes, I do, yes. All sorts, scattered all over the district.
And where do you live?
Well, myself, I snapped up a somewhat superior house, nicely situated, full of stations, shops and buses, only 2 minutes from the office.
Oh, I see. You live near your work.
Oh, yes. I'm within spitting distance.
Now, here's another gentleman. Are you nicely accommodated?
Well, I live in a flat, actually. I mean, it's quite nice, but... I'm constantly being troubled by noisy neighbours.
Oh, really?
Yes, they keep banging on the wall every evening. It's so inconsiderate, you know. I just can't concentrate.
Oh, you're studying something?
Yes, I'm learning to play the bagpipes.
Now, here's a remarkable old gentleman. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Not at all. It's delightful to have you with us.
Thank you.
Sir, where do you live?
I live down in the country, sir.
Oh, I see. Yes. Have you got a house?
No. Nothing as grand as that. I live in a dilapidated old wooden hut.
Well, good gracious. I had. How long have you lived like this?
We've done that, Bill.
Oh, yes, of course we have. But tell me, living... Living, how long was it? 35 years in an old hut. Yes. Hasn't it been awfully dull and quiet?
Oh, no. No, sir. There's plenty of excitement. I've been very happy there.
Oh, good. And what is your job?
I'm a gamekeeper.
To some, houses are just places to live in. To others, they're a pride and joy. With a loving care shown for decor, furnishings, and contents. One only has to walk into certain houses, and straight away, one experiences a tremendous admiration and perhaps envy.
I say, Rodders, what a gorgeous place this is.
Yes, rather, it is rather fab.
Absolutely dolly. Mm. Such opulence. Mm. Velvet drapes, crystal chandeliers, and what a pile on the carpet. It's up to my knees.
What about the sideboard?
Sheraton, isn't it?
What else? And, of course, you've noticed the silver, the Venetian glass, and the very best china.
Exquisite. Mm. I say, Rodders, there's even a china doorstop.
Yes, it's Wedgwood. Mm. But just cast your eyes over this, Charles. That's a real objet d'art.
Oh, I thought it was a vase.
Charles, honestly, sometimes you are a bit of a peasant. Of course, it's a vase. Ming.
The same to you.
Have you caught the reflection in the mirror?
Fascinating.
Yes, I am rather, aren't I? Well, what do you think of the place?
I'm positively riveted, Rodders. There's an air of beauty and wealth all over the heart.
Why do you think I chose it so carefully?
Because you're brilliant.
Thank you.
Well, come on, you hold the sack. Let's start with the silver. Yes,
well, we've considered the more normal modes of living, houses, flats, etc., but there are those who prefer less conventional accommodation, some like caravans or houseboats. And we've just heard of one couple who actually live in the signal box at a railway station.
Felicity, this is all your idea, you old buffoon. Fancy choosing to live in a place like this.
It's most convenient.
You call it convenient when you put your washing out and the 8:32 mile train picks it up.
Yes, my darling, that is most unfortunate.
And what about that black nightie you hung out the window?
What about?
Well, it was white when you hung it out. Filthy, dirty old place.
I'm sorry, my darling.
Oh, I should think so, you silly old faggot.
Please, Andrew.
It was my best nightie, too. Honestly, I hate this place. Can't get to sleep for the shunt in.
Darling.
What about those express trains that come through?
I know, right? It makes your teeth chatter.
Chatter? They almost jump out of the tumbler.
You must admit it's very handy living over the railway. You only have to go down the steps onto the platform for your train in the morning.
Oh, built up, you old boy. It's a dangerous place. It isn't safe. Oh. One of these days...
Oh, look, my darling. What? Here comes the 3-4. Oh.
Yes, I'm all right now. Perhaps you've learned your lesson. It's no good trying to live above your station.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be car battery manufacturers. Are they overcharging? Also, in next week's program, a well-known food taster will be telling us how his job makes him fed up. There'll be a talk given by a horn player confessing to his misuse of the instrument entitled, I Was Rotten to the Core Anglais. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now, leaving you with this thought from a listener. Does a singing teacher charge scale fees? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show. Under contract was Kenneth Horne. Under pressure were Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Janet Waters and the Hornets. Under the influence of Paul Fennelly were the BBC Variety Orchestra. Under fire, scriptwriter Eric Merriman. And under observation, our producer, Jake Brown.